Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd. My name is Chris Anderson from Bell Ambulance in Milwaukee, and I'm pleased to have with me Dan Williams, our co-host today.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome, Dan.
Good morning.
So today our guests are Kathy Federico from the DEA in Milwaukee, and Tristan North of the American Ambulance Association in Washington, D.C. Welcome.
Thank you.
Today's program will run approximately 30 minutes and is sponsored by J&B Medical, Cardio Group. Today we are going to talk about U.S. House of Representatives Bill 4365. It's called the Protecting Patient Access to Emergency Medication Act. So, Dan, would you like to do a little intro?
Sure. We've had an opportunity to have discussions with Kathy Federico on a couple of different occasions, and she was kind enough to provide some information to the ESOW conference last year, which was a very welcome addition to our conference. And I know Tristan is very active in the government affairs, if you will, of the American Ambulance Association, and really has a pulse on what's happening in Washington. I think that this is one of those bills that I think everybody sees as a positive, and we're just hoping that that the people on the Hill also see it that way and pass it, because there's some there'll be some rather daunting tasks for services if we stay status quo. I think that this is a real proactive bill that allows and carves out a little bit of EMS as a specialty, if you will, and allows us to manage the resources that we have with a qualified manner as far as documentation, et cetera, but to manage it a little bit more easily than what the specific rules are in the DEA regulations at this point in time. So I think the first question I'll throw out is Tristan, would you like to just kind of give us an overview of 4365 from your perspective at a national level?
Sure, happy to. Thank you very much. Glad to be here today. So the bill, from our perspective, really has two important characteristics. First of all, it'll make very clear that there are standing orders for paramedics and EMTs to use drugs, controlled substances, on ambulances. The second is the fact that right now the license or the enforcement registration relies on the medical director, whereas this would really put the responsibility on the actual ambulance service provider itself, which in our opinion is where it should be. I think that's shared by NAEMSP as well as others, since it's really the ambulance service provider itself that is the one who has, you know, who is actually storing, controlling, has access to the drug. So instead of the medical director, should be actually the provider. There seems to be a lot of support for the bill on Capitol Hill as well as within EMS organizations in D.C. and around the country. And, you know, it really comes down to what, if anything, is going to move in this presidential election year. So not specifically an issue with this bill. It's everything that the AAA and every other organization in D.C. is working on right now, whether or not there's going to be an opportunity to get something done this year. So,
what's the likelihood of that happening, Tristan?
You know, I'd put it less than 50-50. I know that NAEMSP, Holland and Knight, Lisa Topol, their lobbyist in D.C., is making a good run at it. It's just, you know, it just becomes what vehicles move this year and whether or not there's one that's appropriate to attach this bill to. So that's really what it comes down to.
Okay. Kathy, I think you have spoken on this topic, and unfortunately sometimes you get involved when somebody hasn't done things quite so well. But your message at the PSOW conference last year was very positive in what people can do to, on a regular basis, whether this bill was in place or not, just from a DEA standpoint. Would you like to just reflect a little bit on that?
Yeah, what I would probably like to just highlight is the fact that, you know, the regulations do state that any place you store controlled substances, there are some exceptions to that, but if you have various ambulance locations, those locations need to be registered if you're storing controlled substances at those sites. With this bill in place, and DEA is very sensitive and recognizes the need for this type of bill, because we do recognize that the registration is different than a traditional medical director or, you know, physician's office. So hopefully this will move forward and it will solve a lot of the registration issues we're having. But what I would like to say is that if you are one of those ambulance services out there that don't have policies and procedure in place where there's counter checks and checks and balances on your controlled substances moving from a location to the ambulance to the patients, make sure there are checks and balances in place, because that's where things go wrong. And then once we get out there, we don't want us to get out there if you're not doing things appropriately. So if anybody does have questions, have them give me a call and we can run through what's required. Because if someone's going to out there and they're looking for a chance to divert, they're going to look for the weak link in your system, and they're going to find it.
Yeah, I think as we talked last September, I think we said, you know, there used to be a time when we all believed that it would never happen to us. Now it's a matter of, I think, you know, when it'll happen, not if it'll happen. So the stronger your policies and procedures and protocols are, the better chance you have of avoiding it. But if you have a determined individual, chances are that person will be able to penetrate at some point.
Yeah, and correct. And it's not, you know, people don't start out, paramedics, you know, they're in the line of business of helping people. They don't start out thinking, I'm going to go steal some morphine today. It's typically a scenario where someone's gotten hurt, they go to a doctor, you know, maybe the doctor's not taking them off at the right point, and they start getting a little bit of a tolerance and dependence on it, and then things go awry. So you're protecting everybody when you've got those checks and balances in place, and you're, you know, double checking your inventory. People are actually have eyes on the inventory, and they're not just, you know, checking a box, and, you know, checking the tamper resistant seals to make sure people aren't tampering with the medication. That seems to be the biggest area in the ambulance service arena that we've seen with cases, is people putting a syringe in the morphine sulfate carpuget and pulling it out and putting saline back in. So the more checks and balances you can have, you're just protecting everybody.
That seems to be the, you know, medication diversion, that seems to be the big topic that we've heard about so many times. And it sounds so sinister when we talk about it, but, you know, unfortunately it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes we forget about the fact that people do have vulnerabilities, and like Kathy said, it usually starts off very innocently, then they get caught up in something that they can't work their way out of, and then that's when we have an issue. Tristan, do you have anything further from a national perspective that would be interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, obviously with the high profile around controlled substances these days, you know, other organizations, agencies, and Congress have been also kind of looking to tighten control of drugs and make sure that they're being properly tracked and stored. One thing that Congress had done back in 2013 was pass the Drug Supply Chain Security Act. Essentially, the legislation would require drug dispensaries to build an electronic system to identify and track the distribution of drugs. The FDA issued their regulation last fall, The AAA working with a number of organizations as part of a drug dispensary coalition raised some concerns about the regulation because a lot of the smaller dispensaries, mainly in hospitals, small rural hospitals, were not going to make the deadline for being able to track these drugs electronically, and were therefore going to be in a position of having an enforcement action taken against them. Obviously, for ambulances, that's a big deal because if a small hospital dispensary that has a relationship with an ambulance service provider, and the ambulance service provider relies on that dispensary for a lot of its drugs, we were concerned that that outlet would be cut off. So working as a coalition and with the FDA, we were first able to get a delay in enforcement from last November to March 1st of this year on the new regulations, and then actually FDA, the day before they were supposed to go into effect, came out with a guidance that essentially says that it will not take any enforcement action against a small dispensary when it distributes drugs to first responders. So those dispensaries now in hospitals and other small dispensaries that were previously dispensing drugs to first responders and having to keep track still need to do so, but can do so on paper and not have to worry about doing it electronically and thus being having any enforcement action taken against them. So another piece of kind of, you know, something that AAA has been working on the drug arena.
It sounds good. Hey, Chris, it looks like we may have gone past our 9:05 commercial break, so if everybody can hang with us, are you ready for that?
Absolutely. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about the pending legislation and what people can do to help. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Thibault at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margins.
Frustrated with EMS equipment breakdowns? Is equipment sitting on the shelf waiting to get repaired only to be left with an unreliable backup, having to chase down or wait for a repair technician? If so, there's a simple fix. Cardiotronics is a single-source service maintenance provider dedicated to EMS equipment. They service several Wisconsin customers already. Besides repairing your equipment, they'll create a formalized maintenance program. They have three main objectives: reduce costs, improve reliability of your equipment, and minimize service events. Contact Craig Harmon at Cardiotronics today at 855-433-3427 or find them on the web at cardiotronicshealth.com. Make Cardiotronics your next service call.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. We are Wisconsin EMS Live, talking today with Wisconsin DEA Supervisor Kathy Frederico and American Ambulance Association Vice President of Government Affairs Tristan North. We're talking today about U.S. House Bill 4365 and protecting access to medications for EMS services. Welcome back, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Kathy, Tristan, I think... Oh, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to ask Tristan, one of the things that we've been talking about locally here in Wisconsin is encouraging all of our EMS partners to use the National Association of EMS Physicians toolkit to contact them and share their support for H.R. think we all feel pretty good that the bill is going to pass. It's just a matter of when. So again, the NAEMSP website can help you with that toolkit, and we should be adding a link to the PAW website as well within the next day or two, just to make it a little bit easier for everyone.
And for the NAEMSP, it's naemsp.org. That's their website. If you just in their search thing, if you just type in HR 4365, it'll bring you right to the toolkit. Kathy, I know that you work off of directives from your larger office, and I just wonder if things stay status quo, what would change from your perspective based on information that you have within your agency for EMS providers?
Well, if the bill doesn't move forward and they make some changes to how the ambulance services are registered and make some changes to how we view of how ambulances fit into our current registration system, then at that point things I think are going to get a little bit difficult, because we're not just going to be able to let things sit until this new bill passes. We're going to actually have to stick to how the regulations are written right now. And I think that would be a little cumbersome, but DEA does recognize that, and I think they are, very much in support of this bill, and I know that they've been working on it. Actually, the woman that it was in head of the whole five-state region here out of Chicago is one of our main bosses now up in Diversion, and she has been personally working on the bill. So I know they are very in tune with what is going on and how it needs to move forward. And if it doesn't, we will have to adhere to the letter of the regulations, which, as we know, can be very cumbersome for the ambulance service arena.
Right. Well, I think it's positive news just hearing that we have both sides of the fence, if you will, that are working collaboratively together to try to make something work for everybody in a common sense fashion.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan. I mean, so many times we see legislators trying to push their agenda, but then regulators are against it, and, they sort of butt heads and nothing happens. So this is very refreshing for us.
Hopefully things will move quickly now. So do either of you have any other things that would be beneficial for Wisconsin EMS providers?
I had a couple best practices, if you just want me to throw those out there, to some of those ambulance services that may not have some of those policies in place.
That'd be great.
A couple of things that I would highly suggest is to make sure that they're doing actual physical inventory, eyeballing the medication and doing a physical inventory at the beginning of end of each shift. Make sure that there is limited access to the controlled substances, and that means limited access, not where everybody knows where the key is and everybody could get to the key if needed. One or two people have access to those controlled substances and they're responsible for them. Visually look at the containers to make sure there's no tampering. Double witness your waste. If you're only partially administering something to a patient, make sure two people are looking that is wasted. That's probably the biggest place where diversion can happen on an ambulance service. And then using the appropriate forms to obtain the drugs and to transfer them to any subsequent ambulance service if needed.
Okay, great. How about you, Tristan? What else have you got for us?
Not much else. I mean, we continue to push on unrelated issues such as Medicare relief and reform. Actually, our House champions on the Medicare Ambulance Access Fraud Prevention and Reform Act, H.R. 745, Representatives Walden, Nunez, Neil and Welch sent out a dear colleague to their House colleagues today asking to co-sponsor the bill. There's been a change in the bill from introduction that it's much more descriptive as to what type of data would be collected under the cost survey. Obviously, we want to capture everything, including high-cost drugs and other important equipment on ambulances. So That continues to also be a high priority for the AAA this year.
It also looks like the HIPAA police that everybody said didn't exist for a long time are starting to show up at places and ask people what their plans are. Do you, at the national level, are you starting to see this as well?
Some, you know, just kind of anecdotally here and there, you know, that people are, you know, now that it's been in place for a number of years now, that they are being asked to provide information on their compliance program. So just right now, anecdotal, nothing that we've kind of seen as a specific trend yet at the national level.
I know we have seen on the fraud side, that has become much more active in the ambulance industry, where, you know, we never heard of that in the past, and now it seems to be coming more prevalent nationally. Are there hot pockets areas, or is this kind of across the board?
No, I mean, there definitely are hot pocket areas. You know, a couple of years ago, we saw it in the Houston area. Now we've seen it in the Philadelphia area. This follows very closely with what CMS has done on their moratorium on new providers, as well as the pilot program on non-emergency repetitive transports. So we are seeing, you know, now that CMS has the moratorium in place in Philadelphia, we are seeing a lot more activity as far as enforcement in the Philadelphia, other areas of Pennsylvania, New Jersey. But really, they're pretty isolated. We also saw a case, obviously, down involving several hospital systems within northern Florida. But that was really kind of an anomaly. But definitely, the OIG is stepping up efforts, but it's really looking at those areas where, you know, they've seen a prone for fraud and abuse.
Okay, thank you. Chris, any other thoughts?
Well, no, I just, I think Dan and I both agree. We really appreciate both of you joining us today. Lots of good information.
My pleasure.
And, you know, this ambulance business just gets more and more complicated, but that's okay. We're here for the long haul. So, Kathy and Tristan, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to take one more commercial break, and then Dan and I will be back just to wrap things up and talk about next week's show.
Thank you.
Since 1997, Savick Buying Group has been saving members money through world-class buying power in the public safety sector. Hello, this is Savick Executive Director Mickey Schulte. With over 4,500 Savick members throughout North America and strong commitments from our vendor partners, we turn this buying power into products and services at the industry's best prices with agreements from Henry Schein, Zoll Medical, Granger, and many other companies. To receive more information or get started today, contact the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin at 414-236-4192 and mention you would like to be a Savick member, or go online to paw.us/Savick, S-A-V-V-I-K. Best of all, PAW pays your annual Savick member fee so you can access millions of products discounted and get real savings absolutely free. Make the call, 414-236-4192, and join Savick today.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. Dan and I would like to thank you for listening today. The next EMS Live program is Tuesday, April 12th, same time, 9 a.m. EMS Live in Wisconsin is broadcast live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Today's program was recorded and is available for on-demand playback on the PAW homepage at www.paaw.us. Dan, any closing thoughts?
Well, I think it was touched upon a little bit today about the responsibility that EMS providers have to police themselves and make sure that they're doing things correctly. I know one of the other areas that we'll probably have actually an upcoming show on will be, you know, the whole compliance package as it comes to, you know, billing and making sure your reports are compliant to meet the standards of CMS and all of the other payers as well. So I think that, you know, as you're working on these things, and we all know we don't have enough time to do what we do already, and who has time to write a compliance program, but it's becoming more and more important, especially as they start to come out and do more audits.
That is an excellent point. I know you've been a big champion of compliance, and you've spoken about it recently. So you make excellent points. You know, the world is more complex, and we are not immune to that. Mm-hmm. So the last thing anyone wants to do is be caught off guard.
That's true, because it won't be pretty if you don't have a plan.
Good point. I think a lot of times, you know, it unfortunately takes something bad for people to open their eyes. So I think your message is a good one, and that's prepare ahead of time.
Right. Other than that, I think we had a nice discussion with our two guests, and hopefully a lot of people got some good information out of that, and we'll work hard to make sure they're compliant.
Absolutely. Well,
also,
thanks, everyone.
Make sure that everybody gets out and supports HR 4365. Like Chris mentioned earlier, there is a toolkit on naemsp.org, and we would encourage people to write those letters of support to your representatives. Your representatives are also on that website, so in case you don't know who they are, how to contact them, there's a list there and it gives you good information of how to do that.
Absolutely. The larger the pile we can drop on them, the more attention they're going to pay.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Dan, and we'll see you all next time.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.